Minehead Baptist Church Sermon Podcast for the week of Sunday, the 29th of October, 2006. Hello and welcome. Thank you for listening. My name's James and I'm the web guy here at MBC. This week at church, our sermon was preached by our new minister, the Reverend Andrew McCausland. He spoke on knowing God, and the reading is Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 to 11. But it'll also help if you have a quick look through Exodus chapter 33. Before we get to the sermon today, I've got something a bit different for you. This morning at church, we were very honoured to be joined by the Watoto Children's Choir from Uganda. They even performed a song for us on their day off, which was really good of them, and they've allowed me to play it for you now on the podcast, which is something really special and I hope you really enjoy it. I'm sorry about a few buzzes and pops today, I'm still ironing a few gremlins out in the system. So first you'll hear Andrew, who will introduce the Watoto Children's Choir, and then he'll start his sermon.
I thought it'd be good. Do you want to just come here? It'd be good. For folks who don't know much about you, who has heard of the Watoto Choir before? So not many. Good. A wonderful opportunity for you just to tell us a little bit about who you are and what you're doing here.
All right. And maybe while I'm speaking, maybe the children could come up.
It's on.
Be ready to sing. Since 1990...
Sorry, Eugene. It's on.
Watoto Children's Choir is a ministry of Kampala Pentecostal Church in Uganda, East Africa. And since 1994, choirs like these have been traveling all around the world, telling people about the good news of Jesus and the hope that we found in Him. Each of the children that you see on the stage here has lost one or both of their parents to AIDS or war or disease, things like that. Our ministry is currently caring for just over 1,500 children in Uganda. And we're traveling, telling our stories, trying to raise awareness about the AIDS crisis that's happening in Uganda. Each of the children can testify about the hope and the love that they've received from Jesus and the hope that you can also have in Him. Because we believe that you don't have to be a Ugandan orphan to feel lonely. We believe that there's people all over the world that have experienced that hurt in their hearts. And we're here to tell you this morning about the good news of Jesus. And we believe that God has a plan for everyone's life. And these children who were once rejected from society were living on the streets. We know that God has a plan for their lives. And we also believe that God has a plan for your life. We believe that Jesus wants us to disciple these children for Him, to be the future leaders of our country. And it's really our aim and our goal is to raise future leaders. We believe that these children are going to grow up. They're going to get a good education through our ministry. We're providing schools for them, homes. We're placing these children into single-family homes with a loving mom. There's 8 children in each house. And we currently have like 148 homes. We have 2 primary schools, a secondary school, a vocational institute. And this year we've purchased and renovated our very first baby's home in Uganda. And we're going to be able to care for 60 newborn babies. There's many children that have been abandoned in our hospitals, and there's no one to care for them, so we're trying to meet that need as well. So, but we really believe that God has a plan for these children's lives, and they're going to grow up, and they're going to change our country and make it what God wants it to be. So we're going to share a little medley with you, just a cappella, and I hope you'll enjoy it.
You've been on your tour. You've been to France and Spain as well.
Yes, we've been on tour now about, 7, 8 weeks, and we've been through Spain and France, and we'll spend the rest of our time in the UK now up until March the 6th.
So they're traveling for 6 months. Isn't that fantastic? Now look, guys, be careful how you answer this question. Did you like Spain?
Yes.
Did you like France?
Yes.
Yeah, but who's the best, France, Spain, or England? What's the best, France, Spain, or England? Spain? England is the best. Amen? Yeah. We look forward to your song. Thank you for coming.
Bang, I don't want to be you.
Jonah.
Yes, I found them dancing in the house of the Lord. Yes, I found them dancing in the house of the Lord. Jayalega, ewi polo, jayamara, jomuye. Dancing of the Lord. Dancing of the Lord. Baraka za mungu kwedindiza. Zaweza kwenda juu, zaweza kwenda chini, zaweza kwenda mbele, zaweza kwenda nyuma. Upande upande kwa mataifa yote. Upande upande kwa mataifa yote. The love of God is wonderful.
It is so good.
The love of God is wonderful.
It is so good.
He reaches to the sky. He reaches to the earth. He goes before all me. He comes behind me. All over the world in every nation.
All over the world in every nation.
Yesu ni wangu, wa uzima wa milele.
Yes,
he is the Lord, yes, Jesus is mine. He is the Lord forever. Muga moyo wa uzima, ewa uzima, ewa uzima, haleluya wa uzima, eya natupenda, wa uzima wa milele. He's the Lord forever.
Yes,
Musa moyo wa uzima. Ewa uzima. Ewa uzima. Hallelujah wa uzima. Now, if you love the Lord Jesus, say, aha.
Aha.
Now, if you love the Lord Jesus, say, eh.
Eh.
Come on, if you love the Lord Jesus, shout, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Semuka.
Yeah.
Semuka.
Banga,
mbele,
mbele,
yuma,
hey,
yuma,
rush.
That's all there is to it, folks. There'll be some singing lessons during the week. Wow. And beautifully sung, not least the message that you brought to us. God's love reaches to the earth is one of the bits that I caught. And so thank you. Let's pray for them, shall we? They're actually on days off at the moment, but they kindly have done that for us this morning. We appreciate it. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for these young people and their escorts. Thank you, Lord, for the love that you have put into their hearts. You've captivated their hearts, Lord, such that they know they can trust you. They know, Lord, they can give their lives to you. They know, Lord, that you have a plan for them, a purpose for them. They know, Lord, because not of who they are, but because of who you are, they can change their country through the work of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the work of this choir and the leaders, the founders, and the hope that they're bringing to that land. And Lord, as they travel around, as they have brought us hope and joy this morning, Lord, would you spread your joy and your hope? Would you spread the good news of the Lord Jesus to every place that they would go? May the fragrance of the Lord go with you. May you spread his fragrance wherever you go. So Lord, we thank you for this happy coincidence that you have made happen this morning. And we bless you because you are our God. It's all about you, Lord. And together we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we rejoice. Amen. Amen. To us, if you want to open your Bibles, it's Philippians chapter 3, starting at verse 7. And as we come to God's word, let's pray that God would speak to us this morning and open our eyes to things that he wants to say to us. So, Philippians 3.
But whatever was to my profit, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss compared to the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God and is by faith. I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain to the resurrection from the dead.
So we'll go straight to God's word, and perhaps we'll use that song after I've spoken. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts would be acceptable and pleasing in your sight. Amen. Amen. A few weeks ago, I shared with you from Exodus 33, a passage of scripture that I felt the Lord had taken me to in a time of sabbatical and time of prayer and preparation for this new work that I was taking on. And I shared it with you because I felt that God wanted to share something with me and with us at the beginning of our journey together. I don't know if I've got have I got power here? Yes, I have. The big theme, I think, of Exodus 33, these verses that we're looking at, is it's all about pleasing God, finding favour with God. If you want to turn to Exodus 33, you can. Although we've had read to us Philippians 1, I'm actually going to preach from Philippians 3. I'm going to preach from Philippians 3 next week. But I wanted to set what I say today in the context of that very well-known passage. In Exodus 33, as I say, the big theme is about pleasing God. Verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, "You have been telling me lead these people, but you've not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name, and you have found favour with me." So Moses had found favour. He goes on in verse 13, in two occasions, to say, "If you are pleased with me, teach me your way so I may know you and continue to find favour with you." So if you're pleased with me, show yourself to me that I may continue to please you. In verse 16, "How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth?" Verse 17, "And the Lord said to Moses, I will do the very thing you have asked because I am pleased with you." This thing, this theme of being pleased, of finding favour, occurs a number of times throughout this passage in Exodus 33. And the reason is because the context of this passage is that actually God is very displeased with the people. Moses left the people alone and went on to a mountaintop and met with God. And we read in Exodus 32 that they took such a long time that the people began to groan and grumble. And eventually, they said to Aaron, build us a god. And so Aaron, Moses' trusted deputy, said, take off your earrings, take off your bracelets, bring your gold to me, and we'll melt it down. And they made a calf. And Aaron said, this is your God. And the people bowed down and worshipped it. Now, what was Aaron doing? What was he thinking? In Exodus 32, 9 and 10, we read the response of the Lord to what was going on. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are a stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, Moses, so that my anger may burn against them and that I may destroy them. That's a gracious God. Then I will make you, Moses, into a great nation. But before I do that, I've got to destroy these people because they are wicked, they are stiff-necked, and I'm fed up with them. And then we go to Exodus 33, in the first few verses of Exodus 33. Then the Lord said to Moses, leave this place, you and the people you brought up out of Egypt, and go to the land I promised on oath to Abraham to give him. So he's saying to the people, go. But in verse 3 he says, but I'm not going to go with you, because I'm sick to death of you. Verse 3. I will not go with you because you are a stiff-necked people, and if I come with you, I might well destroy you on the way. You see, the context of Exodus 33 and this need to please God is set in the context of God being very displeased, very unpleased with his people. And so for Moses and the people of Israel, it is incredibly important that they learn how to please God and to live in a way that pleases him. And Moses pleads with God and says, Lord, don't destroy them. Please don't destroy them. And so God relented. But then we read a few verses later that actually Moses went down and his anger burned against the people. And he destroyed the calf and brought the people back. And I want to say, I know that Mark Owen, a few weeks ago, do you remember Mark from Wales, who came, and one of the things that I know folks picked up, don't make assumptions. Yes, do you remember? Well, I agree with him entirely, but I am going to make one assumption this morning. And I don't think it's an unreasonable one. And that we as a fellowship want to be pleasing to God. That we want, as a fellowship, in our individual lives and in our corporate life together, we want to honour the Lord. We want him to be pleased with us. We want to find favour with the Lord. We want him to be delighted with us. Is that a fair assumption to make? Amen. A couple of weeks ago, I introduced this passage, and perhaps the next slide. And I shared with you the significance and the centrality, I think, as a people on a journey, of the presence of God in the midst of his people. And that was the first way that we live as a people who are there to please God. We walk closely with God. We are a people who seek to walk closely with our God. And I brought that verse, I don't know if you can see it, Exodus 33, unless your presence goes with us, Moses said. Do not send us out from here. So number one, important, is the presence of God in our midst. This week, I just want to focus on that one verse, Exodus 33, verse 13. If you are pleased with me. You want this next one, James? If you are pleased with me, have a look at it. Teach me your ways, so I may know you and continue to find favour with you. I think the second thing that the Lord would want to say to us is about knowing God. If we are to be a people that please him, then we are to be a people who know him. How can we please God unless we know him? How can we be pleasing to God unless we know what pleases him? Lord, teach me your ways so that I may know you and continue to find favour with you. And Lord, may that be true of us together here in this place. So it's about knowing God. Is there a blank slide after that, James? I think you can put the blank slide on. No? Okay, I'll come on to another one in a minute. We need one of these click, click, click things that I can... Once upon a time, there was an atheist walking through the woods, you may know this story, admiring all that the accident of evolution had created. What majestic trees, he said. What powerful rivers. What beautiful animals, he said to himself. As he was walking along the river, he heard rustling in the bushes. He turned and was faced with a 7-foot grizzly bear charging at him. He ran as fast as he could up the path. He looked over his shoulder and saw that the bear was closing in. He tried to run faster, so scared that tears were coming to his eyes. He looked over his shoulder again and the bear was even closer. His heart was pumping frantically as he tried to run faster, but he tripped and he fell. And he rolled over to pick himself up and he saw the bear right on top of him, raising his paw, ready to kill him. At that instant, he cried out, "Oh my God!" And just then, time stopped. The bear froze. The forest was silent. The river stopped. And a bright light shone on the man. And a voice came out of the sky saying, "You deny my existence all these years. You teach others that I don't exist. And you credit my creation to a cosmic accident. And now you expect me to help you out of your predicament? Am I to count you as a believer?" The atheist, ever proud, looked to the light and said, "It would be hypocritical to ask to be a Christian after all these years, but you could make the bear a Christian." "Very well," boomed the voice. As the light went out, the river started running. The sounds of the forest returned. And the bear brought down his paw. And then he put them together, bowed his head, and said, "For what I am about to receive, may the Lord make me truly thankful." Amen. It's an old one, they're always the best. Knowing God. If we just put up the next slide. I only saw this morning actually, after all my preparation, I found it this morning. In this verse 13, where Moses says, "Lord, teach me your ways, so that I may know you and find favour with you." And as I was meditating on that this morning, came into my mind my favourite prayer, my most widely used prayer, which is the prayer of St. Richard of Chichester, made well known by the musical Godspell, that says, "Lord, let me see you more clearly, that I may love you more dearly and follow you more nearly." And it just occurred to me that actually there's tremendous similarity there. And if you don't go away with anything else, but that prayer ringing in your ears, pray every day, "Lord, let me see you more clearly, that I may love you more dearly and follow you more nearly, day by day. Teach me your ways, Lord, that I may know you." And this knowing isn't about knowing something about somebody. It's an intimate knowing, a knowledge of somebody, that I may know you. Thank you. You can go to the blank slide now. A second key element of pleasing God is knowing him. So the question is how can we please him unless we know him? And unless we know what pleases him. And for each of us, individually, together, are we growing in our knowledge and love of God? That's the question before us this morning. Are we growing in our knowledge and love of God. Moses said, teach me your ways. And it is interesting that most of the time, we know God by what he does, isn't it? Isn't that often true? Most of the time, we know God by what he has done, by what he is doing, by what he's done in my life, and by what he has done in other people's lives. And it's a fact, a researched fact, that most people come to faith in Jesus as a result of seeing what Jesus has done in somebody else's life. Not through the preaching on a Sunday morning, not through evangelistic events that we put on, but most people come to faith in Jesus as a result of seeing the work of Jesus in someone else's life. It's not always true in Romans 1:20. We can know what God is like by what he has made, Paul says. And it's also not the whole truth, because actually the Holy Spirit can do it in people's lives without any other human involvement at all. I think of Saul on the road to Damascus. It's God's choice, God's moment. And yesterday the leadership here were praying, and I had a very clear picture of a forest fire, and that how the forest fire spreads. And yet also the forest fire can spread when the wind picks up a spark and carries it and places it somewhere else. And the Holy Spirit can do that. He can take something and drop it into people's lives, anywhere in Minehead, and bring people into a knowledge of who he is. So it's not always true, but it's more often than not true, that we know what God is like by what he has done. Teach me your ways, Lord, that I may know you. It's been interesting. I'm sure you've been watching the news, and I've been fascinated by various things going on during this week. In the last couple of weeks, this news story about this Muslim woman and the veil, it's been going on for a number of weeks. And Jack Straw and his comments. And isn't it interesting that the problem, that this is what they were saying on the news, the problem with, and Jack Straw was saying, is that in order to properly relate to somebody, you need to see their face. You can't just see their eyes. You have no idea what's going on. You can't relate to them. You can't build up a relationship with someone unless you see all their features. What is their mouth doing? What are their cheeks doing? What's their nose doing? People are often fascinated by my nose, but anyway, people need to move on. But it's true, in order to have a relationship with someone, we need to see more. We can't just see their eyes. And that's the problem with the veil, is that it is a barrier to knowing someone fully. Similar this week. Earth-shattering news that they have agreed that a full face transplant can take place. It's the first time ever. Don't know if you've been watching the news. And what was the comment on people that were looking forward to having this face transplant? They were not able to be fully known for who they were with the disfigured face that they currently had. And so, going for this face transplant. Isn't it interesting? These two things going on. Our face is so important. We need to be able to look at someone, to know about them. It's interesting in this passage, verse 19 and 20 of Exodus 33, that actually the Lord says, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, but you cannot see my face. In fact, he goes on to say, actually, you're only going to see my back. But seeing the back of the Lord was enough for Moses. And we need to understand as Christians about getting to know God, that we need to understand that we will never, in this life at least, fully know God. For he is holy and we couldn't cope. That's the reality. Next slide, 1 Corinthians 13:12. Paul says this. Now we see but a poor reflection, as in a mirror. But then, one day, when we get to glory, we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. So in this life we will never fully know the Lord. But we're to use this life to get to know him better, to prepare ourselves for glory, where we shall see him face to face. Hallelujah. And the other thing I love about this passage is that Moses was 80 years old. We never stop getting to know the Lord. Ever. None of us have ever arrived. That's good news. There is no retirement. There is no stepping back. We never get to the end of fully knowing the Lord. And he knew, even after every encounter with God on the mountaintop, even after witnessing everything that God had done to him and to the people to get them out of Egypt, there was yet more, brothers and sisters. And there is yet more. Another slide. Mother Teresa, who once in an interview with Malcolm Muggeridge said this. She said, "The closer I get to God, the further away I realize I am." The further away from him. Now there's a humble lady who spent hours and hours in prayer, serving the poor. The closer I got to God, the further away from him I realize I am. Are we people who are seeking to know God better and to please him? Are we people who are hungry for more of God, who are thirsty to know more of him? As the psalmist said, "As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God." We'll come on to Philippians 3 next week, but in Philippians 3 for this week, Paul says, "I press on towards the goal. I keep going. I never stop." He also says, "I forget about what is behind and I strain forward." Have some of us given up straining to know the Lord? Are we moving forward day by day, day in, day out, aware that there is yet more? Lord, show me your ways. And I want you to know that the people, the diaconate certainly, as we were praying yesterday morning together, we have a burden and a heart for those who are struggling, for those whose flame is growing dim. We do not stand in judgment, but we want to walk with them. And we want to pray with them and by the Holy Spirit, reignite that flame, reignite that passion, reignite that love for God. And this is today for us, it's all about Jesus, because supremely God has made himself known in the life and the person of Jesus of Nazareth, whom we call Messiah, Saviour and Lord. In Colossians, if you want to turn to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Verse 17. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And verse 19. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. We know what God is like when we look at Jesus. And what is so wonderful. And with this, I'm drawing to a close. What is so wonderful is that when we look at Jesus, the veil is lifted. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 to 6. This is wonderful stuff. "Even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Verse 6, "For God said, 'Let light shine out of darkness.'" Let light shine out of darkness. He made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. His face is revealed. The glory of God is revealed in the face of Christ Jesus. Are we people who are seeking to know the Lord better? Dallas Willard, who comes from the States, is one of my heroes, who said the greatest threat to the life of the church is that we will neither adequately know or present Jesus. Do we know him? Because we cannot truthfully, well, we can only truthfully present the Jesus we know. Are we growing in knowledge and love of God? How well do you know him? Do you want to know him more? Do you want to know him and his touch on your life? Lord, teach me your ways. Open my eyes that I may see you more clearly and love you more dearly and follow you more nearly. Perhaps we need to open our hearts again to the Lord this morning afresh. Perhaps like the people of Israel, I want to challenge you. Are you doing something in your life like the people of Israel were being disobedient? Is there something that prevents the Lord from being fully seen by you, from you knowing him? Do you feel in a desert place? You feel as though God has moved away, or have other things got in the way and prevented you from pursuing that knowledge and love of God? Or like Revelation 3, have you lost your first love? Has the flame diminished? Have we stopped pressing on towards knowing him more? Or do you feel your face or his face is still covered and you want to see him fully? Perhaps your relationship with God has become more about doing and duty rather than love. Love it if any of these things are spoken to you this morning and you want to press on. Let us pray for you. Let us pray with you this morning if you want to respond to the Lord and say, I want to know you, Lord. I want to know more of you. I want to see you more clearly. Open my eyes that I may see. Let's pray. Paul in Ephesians said, my prayer is that the Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. Lord Jesus, would you give to us the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that we may know you better? For those of us, Lord, who are crying out to know more of you. For those of us, Lord, who just want to know you more. Would you come by your Spirit and touch our lives, that this day we may seek your face? Paul's prayer to the Ephesians. I pray that the Father may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.
I'd like to say a very big thank you once again to the Watoto Children's Choir for their special performance and for letting me put them on the podcast. If you'd like to know more about them and what they get up to, please go and visit their website, which is www.watoto.com, and that's watoto.com. If you've got any comments or questions about us here at Minehead Baptist Church, please feel free to email me on podcast@minehead-baptist.com. Or go and check out our website, which is over at minehead-baptist.com. Thanks again for listening, and I'll speak to you soon.